Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
He spins around, rolled off his stick. Here's a breakaway opportunity. Moving up ice. Yop, moving in. Fakes backhander. Scores! Puck around the far corner, kept into the near point again. Clegg moves in, takes a shot. Scores! Off the left side, Clegg. As that swept in on goal by Yops. Back at the right point, another shot. They score! Yops gets a tip in front. Shot from about top of the slot.
It's been good, but, you know, I think that the team played unbelievable this series. You know, I think this is the best team. I haven't been watching for 25 years, but I'm sure it's one of the better teams that have been here in a long time. So, credit to the group. A shout out to team accomplishment. So it's been a great few games.
Team defense propels the Amerks into the next round. They'll await the winner of Laval and Cleveland. And, of course, last night in the NHL, the Kings, the Sens, and the Wild were bounced from the playoffs. Welcome in with Marty and Brian. Nice, to say the least, result for Devon Levi and company as they blank Syracuse over the last two and a half games, essentially, in the three-game series.
The team played unbelievably well in the game two and game three. And yes, Devon Levi, I feel, was in the zone. But you win game one, which that's what you needed to do. You're at home. You win game one. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a long series. And Syracuse is a really mature type of team that you're going to have to grind through it. And they were able to not only the Rochester Americans grind through game two and game three, they did it without giving up a goal. In Rochester game two, in Syracuse game three, it was about as perfect as you can get. And the growth there has been different. We know last year they lost to Syracuse. The year before that, they went to five-game series in overtime. Like, it's taken a long time for Rochester to be able to say, we figured it out a little bit. But Michael Leone and the guys that have had that experience have figured it out, and it's really nice to see that they were able to do it in a really convincing way yesterday.
Help me out. What do you mean figured it out? Because they won 2 years ago and they lost last year.
Yeah, so, but they figured it out early, like to go
so
early.
I feel like they've
to
been on the right path here.
Figured it out in a short matter. Like, you know, that's important to be able to say, hey, you know what? Like, we're not going to go five games and go through the rigors of this battle. If we're going to do it, let's do it close there. Because the last 2 years, like, it's stretched out a little bit. Yes, they beat them 2 years ago. And the last couple of years, they've gone far. But when you play five games and then you go another long series, it adds up on the miles. To be able to go three right now, get a break, because Laval and Cleveland are basically just starting their series.
Yeah, but they could be done Sunday. So
they could, but it could also be a little longer. You're getting a break. Even if it's done Sunday, you're not starting until next week. You don't just go into it 3 days later. You have a week potentially, maybe even longer. That's an added bonus for Rochester to say, we figured it out. We got it in three, right? That makes a big difference.
From a prospect standpoint, obviously, you know, we start with Levi. And from a team standpoint, it was clearly led last night by two from Yops and another from Clegg. He scores three third period goals in the series, mm-hmm. and he leads all playoff performers right now in goals and points. So those are veterans. But looking at it from a prospect standpoint, how do you evaluate, accentuate, you know, what we saw over three wins here and moving forward?
Well, I mean, this is the AHL playoffs. It's not easy. So Jiří Kulík goes down to Rochester after pretty much a full season or close to a full season in Buffalo. And, you know, he did score a goal in game two off the power play one-timer. It was great. He had an assist in the game last night. That's good. There's some moments in the game, a couple of turnovers, and Levi bailed him out a couple of times. But that's why Kulík being in Rochester is a learning curve right now. You know, they debated world championship AHL playoffs. And I think right now, with this first-round win, just the fact that he's experiencing it and learning is important. But he had a couple of moments in the game where you're like, okay, Jiří, that you cannot mismanage the puck like this. But his talent, he had five shots on goal. He got himself in position to be able to produce, and he had the assist. One guy that I've been happy to see, and we talked to Michael Leone about him on Wednesday, is Konstantelainis. I think Konstantelainis looked good in his first playoffs with the Rochester Americans, first year in the AHL. Mm-hmm. He's still a very young player, but he did have another assist yesterday, and he's looked pretty good. I've been impressed with Konstantelainis' ability to respond physically. And I did not know that he was a rat. Michael Leone goes, he's got a little Brad Marchand in him, and he's a little bit of a rat. When you push him, he pushes back. And I'm happy that now I'm discovering this in this playoff series.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, in a series like this, you can go through the lineup top to bottom and, you know, acknowledge all who took part, including last night, Brännström coming in for the first time mm-hmm. as he replaced Komarov on the blue line. You had up front Wahlberg returning, making his series debut. Rusek was out due to injury, so not many missteps along the way. An awful lot of shot blocks. Michael Leone said probably the most from his group in this series than what they had in any segment over the course of the regular season. So that in itself can help lead to, you know, the zeros against. I mean, Devin Levi did get the game puck last night, but in Leone's postgame presser, it was all about everybody in front of him and the effort there. So
a couple of funny moments in the game, Duffer, yesterday. One, Devin Levi had to do a somersault outside of his crease. And I think everybody that's kind of tuned in with what Rochester's doing on social media, they must have seen it or through the highlight pack. But, you know, Devin has a routine. He makes a save. He's got to get out of the crease, especially when there's a scrum. So he tries to get out to the right side. One time he stepped on the stick, almost fell. The other time he was tangled and he ended up doing a somersault, which was kind of comical. The Rochester fans that were in Syracuse cheered loudly for that. The other thing is Fiddler Schultz took a bit of an errant stick in the face on a goal celebration.
Yes, I noticed that.
And I know
live.
You noticed that. So Fiddler Schultz gets into the celebration.
Weird
takes
thing
a
was,
knob
it wasn't
right
the
in
jab,
the face.
Though. It was a parallel stick at shoulder level. He ran into the like the
butt end.
Of it.
He ran into the white butt end and his head went back like, oh, again, I'm a child. I think these are all funny moments in the game. Yeah. And these are things that guys will look at the highlight pack and they'll do video. And, you know, the coach is going to say, go, show goals. And then, you know, they're going to put that on the video. And these are the moments I remember as a player, mm-hmm. these funny clips that they would put in. So that's mm-hmm. why I still remember to this day, we were in the playoffs. We scored a goal. And, you know, producer Joe Pinter back then, and, you know, Eric was our director probably, scanned the crowd. And there's Les Kuntar. He was our CCM co-rep. And he's in the crowd and he's chugging a beer after a goal. And we're like, Les is in the crowd. Like we put that on the video, put that on the playoff video. Like these moments are fun.
Well, they're not fun for the Los Angeles Kings as we transition to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And by the way, Shayna Goldman at the bottom of the hour. And as importantly, Bandits game one tonight of the NLL semifinals. Mm-hmm. Banditland comes alive at 7:30. Vancouver is in best of three. Game one tonight, game two in Vancouver on Sunday. But the Kings, Marty, how about this? So there are so many ways you can go with this.
How about this? Yeah. They lost.
Okay, but they always lose. They've lost to Edmonton historically since Gretzky's 1989 debut with the Kings in the playoffs against Edmonton. But it had me looking, because we talked the other day about Evander Kane and his dominance against LA.
Yeah.
In the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, this is not Edmonton specific. This is all skaters ever against the LA Kings in the postseason. Number one, Leon Draisaitl.
Yes.
20 goals in 24 games. Quiet last night. Esa Tikkanen is number two. Glenn Anderson is number three. Jari Kurri is tied for third. And Evander Kane is fifth. And Zach Hyman is sixth. It's all Oilers dominating the Kings historically. And man, it's hard to run
unreal.
From that when you got
Evander
a couple
Kane
of current
was great
guys on
last
the leaderboard.
Night. Evander Kane, as you pointed out, like how his dominance against the Kings, he was fantastic last night in the game. Yeah. And their depth showed up and whatnot. That was great. So it's funny because we put it on social media, but OptaStat said that the Kings are only the second team in the big major four sports to lose in the first round against the same opponent 4 years in a row. Mm-hmm. You mentioned yesterday, and I talked about the Sabres, right? And, you know, they're in the playoffs and because of the division, not being able to get out of the first round or second round because it was Boston, Montreal. Mm-hmm. Well, the Boston Bruins lost to the Canadiens in the opening round four times in a row in 84, 85, 86, and 87. Yep. They're the only two teams to have done that. Somebody hit me on social media and said, wait a second, didn't the Sabres lose to the Bruins four times in a row too? And nope,
not in
it
a
was
row.
Two, not in yeah. a row. It was two times in the first round in 88 and 89, I believe that was. But yeah, that's how rare it is that a team can do that 4 years in a row. And the Oilers done that 4 years in a row, the Kings.
And it goes back to the point of, okay, well, why did it happen? Because of a divisional poor playoff format. You have to get away from this because it's not, I don't think it's good for anybody to see the same matchup over and like if you work your way towards it, yes. Like if you get to a second round or a third round, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, we're meeting again. Okay, that's where the journey took you. But these situations that you maybe would like to see a little bit more flair. And I get it. Like it's sports, people are going to have an opinion and be able to present their argument one way or the other. That's the nature of it. But
you have to be able to change your opinion too. Don't be so stubborn. And that's a message to me, because for years I was like, I love the divisional playoffs because I grew up with the Adams division, Nordiques Hartford, Nordiques Buffalo, right. Nordiques Montreal, right?
And Boston. Buffalo couldn't beat Quebec either. That was a big problem in the
East. Well, that was a big problem. So, that's why I grew up with that. So I'm like, that's great. And now I'm like, you know what? No, I want 1 through 8. And to be honest with you, I would say you win your division, you're in the playoffs. And after that, it's the other six best teams. It's not like the top three in each division are guaranteed. And then there's two wild cards. I'm saying win your division, that guarantees you. And then after that, if there's two from the Atlantic and six from the Metro, then so be it. I say you take the other six best team, so you get the best eight.
Yeah, I mean, and again, what enters the conversation is managing, massaging the schedule to increase the importance of regular season games and have an equal number, if you will. It's harder in the West, obviously, more time zones. But, you know, in the East, it's like, well, what's the real difference here between the Atlantic and the Metro? They're all in the same time zone. So why are they playing? You know what I mean? Like, why are you playing a smaller amount and but you used the word you grew up. Well, so did the NHL. Like the NHL grew from having 16 out of 21 make it to all of a sudden having 32 teams. And they grew and they changed and they had top eight in the conference back in a time when they had six divisions. Now they're back down to four. I think the growth was correct in doing it 1 through 8. Like that's a more fair and balanced and less scripted springtime. You know, I think you have a greater possibility, especially when new teams enter the fray. Like, I just think it's really, that's kind of why a lot of people will still fall back to 1 versus 16 and say,
yeah,
you never knew what you were going to get.
I don't like that. But look, okay, this year you would have gotten Washington and Montreal 1 through 1 and 8. That's fine. Yeah. But you would have got Toronto and New Jersey. And would I have missed the Battle of Ontario? Absolutely. I thought that was fun. But if we get Battle of Ontario next year again and Battle of Ontario the year after again, then you get a little bored of the Battle of Ontario. You got it one time.
Well, you could have gotten Ottawa because you've never won it and never will.
Exactly. Tampa would have played the Ottawa Senators and Carolina would have played Florida. It would have been different. Would it have been worse? No, it would have been different.
Different, yeah.
And I don't mind that now that I've experienced LA, Edmonton 4 years in a row. And
do you want to save the Edmonton next round opponent with Vegas for the Shayna talk at the bottom?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Yes.
So Edmonton defeats LA, Vegas moves on as well, and they defeat Minnesota. So I made a few bold / ridiculous predictions, hopes for the first round.
Like Minnesota.
One of my hopes was that Minnesota would somehow ride the, and I can't even believe that I'm saying that, because obviously I pick Vegas all the time to do everything good. And last night they had everything good. They had Aiden Hill, they had Mark Stone, they had Jack Eichel, they had unsung hero Braden McNabb, they had Shea Theodore at his best. Like, Vegas looks like Vegas when they win games like that. And even still, it was still close to the bitter end.
Yeah, and Minnesota has been good. Maybe Minnesota came down to, and I hate to say it, maybe it came down to a Philip Gustafson illness, because he was so good in game 5 that, I mean, if he stays in and Fleury doesn't go in, not that it was Fleury's fault. Fleury made some good saves, and the goal by Howden in overtime was a laser over the glove, but who knows what would have happened, right? And I'm like, maybe it came down to an illness. Minnesota battled hard, but Vegas was Stanley Cup champions, Vegas Golden Knights last night, the way they played, the way they controlled pace of the game. Early in the series, we were like, where's Eichel? Where's Stone? Where's Eichel? Where's Stone? They're looking like they're they were so good in that game.
Isn't
yesterday.
It something when you watch elite players like Jack? Well, the pass is elite, obviously, but the finish and the poise by Jack, like, it's easy to look back after the fact, after it goes in, but then when you look at the mechanics and the poise of how it was, it's like,
it almost looked so easy.
Yeah.
When he got the puck and he got in and pulled it to the forehand, and it was like, that looks so easy,
so
effortless, easy.
Yep.
And then you got Mark Stone, who scores a goal, batting it in the air, and he celebrates like it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup. And I love that. Like, Mark Stone has that joy of playing. And when it's not going well, you see it on his face. He's disappointed in himself. And then he feels the wave of emotions. And last night was the good side of the wave for him.
So what about Minnesota? I mean, I guess we could have phrased it for both. And we can do that now. Like, what now? What next for both the Kings and the Wild? Because, so I kind of made an off-the-cuff comment yesterday, probably being a little too critical of LA and maybe paint it exact. Yeah, like, they're not old by the rest of the team's standards in the playoffs. Like, right now.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
29 plus or minus half a year is the average age of almost all the teams in the mix. Yes. Toronto is just over 30. Edmonton is 30.6, but everybody else is right around 29 to 29.5. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. The Kings are slightly below that, but the reason the comment came out, obviously, Kopitar and Doughty. Mm-hmm. And Kopitar ends the series as a top 10 scorer again with 9 points in six games.
Doughty had some rough moments.
But realistically, you can't keep expecting Kopitar to do this. And it didn't translate into dominance and or victory. So they need more. So between them, the Kings, not having won a series since 2014 when they won the Stanley Cup, and Minnesota not having won a series since 2015, which is now a decade, what is next for these two? The Wild do finally get out from under the Parisian suitor contract.
Yeah, that's $14.5 million, almost $15 million dollars that's coming
because
off.
Because they still have minimal thing. So it's a plus $13 million for each of the next 2 years.
They have under $2 million of dead cap next year, but they had over like $16 million this year. So it is a big step for them, for Bill Guerin, to be able to say, okay, we've got the structure, we'll add. We got the players. You know, they had Steve Bouillon played this year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a full-time next year. Brock Faber is young. They've got the pieces. They're going to have Jesper Wallstedt backing up Filip Gustavsson next year, moving in from Fleury. Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, Boldy,
Kaprizov Rossi. Needs an extension, so that's probably the first order of business. How much is he going to get?
He's going to get it. He's going to get probably $12.5 million, I would think. I didn't look at the, AFP analytics numbers on it, which were done at Christmas. I'm looking forward to see at the end of the year when they're 12.5 to 13.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you think that would be fair?
Well, I think he's got leverage to go higher, honestly.
Potentially.
I mean, if you're telling me that Marner is going to get X, Kaprizov, is he going to play the waiting game? He doesn't need to rush into it because he has a contract for next year. Is he going to let the market through Marner get dictated? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard Kaprizov's name in the Hart Trophy more than I've ever heard Mitch Marner's.
Yes, and Kaprizov was like an early favorite at the start of the year, then the injury.
Right.
Maybe it's 13.5, and you're right, because also he has another year left at $9 million next year. So, you know, you're looking at in 2 years from now, the cap being $100+ million. Do you want to go? Okay, so if you say you're 14% of the cap, that's $14 million, right? I mean, Mitch Marner is going to have his contract done before Kaprizov does, because Marner needs a contract for next year. So that will be that will lead the way for Kirill Kaprizov. But you were talking about the Edmonton Oilers, Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings
in Minnesota. Like, what do we each do next?
So here's the thing. Well, I've mentioned it on the show. I think the Kings have to look at their coaches and Jim Hiller and say, what are we doing here? Mike Sullivan.
Just be that, right. It's obviously roster too. It has to be roster.
But the problem here is Jim Hiller was so stubborn at not playing the young guys, especially in the playoffs. What happened yesterday in game 6 against the Edmonton Oilers? Oh, you know what? Brent Clark scores a goal. He was playing like 4 minutes a game as a sixth defenseman or whatever. Jordan Spence scored a goal with the fourth line on the ice. They played only 7 minutes. You need to be able to trust everybody when you coach. And right now, Jim Hiller did not trust everybody. He trusted Doughty and Kopitar a lot. Doughty had one of the biggest gaffe in what I think would be in his career. It's 4-2. The Oilers, you know, it's in the second. There's still time. And it's a 3-on-1 with two back checkers. And I believe it was Connor Brown has a back checker off his back. Doughty decides, I'm going to slide to try to take the pass away. and he leaves Trent Frederick open in the slot, and Connor Brown still gets it there. I'm like, Drew, you got to read the play. Mm-hmm. Like, Connor Brown wasn't a threat. You got to be able to stay in the middle there. And maybe he was tired. Maybe he was mentally tired. He made a gaffe on there, and he opened up the middle of the ice for Trent Frederick.
Interesting angle there by you with the coach and young players. You do have to respect how they had one of the best seasons in Kings history.
Yes.
And that was, again, by following the same script, which was trusting veteran defensemen, which they were not going to move off of, obviously, which is what limited Brant Clark throughout the course of the year. Mm-hmm. But he leans on the Edmondsons and the Gavrikovs of the world. But moving forward, Gavrikov's a UFA. He's been very good as an LA King. There's no question about that. He's been very good after coming over from Columbus. But will they choose to go a little younger? Like, they have two more years of Doughty. Mikey Anderson still fits in incredibly well at a very awesome cap hit. But yeah, they were a top five defensive team. So clearly they weren't going to make too many changes. But you're also correct in saying, like, yeah, that's fine. It got you to the series. But in the series, you need to make adjustments. And the unfortunate reality is for the Kings is it was almost like mind games, like, or like you're living in two different situations constantly if you're Jim Hiller. His team scored first all the time. His team had leads all the time. So it's not like you were sitting there like in these uphill slugfests for the final four games, right? You could see the things that work for them. Now they have to figure out how to prevent and or avoid Edmonton altogether, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's tough.
You got to be in the wild card so you can avoid Edmonton, and then it just so happened you're going to end up playing them anyway. But
like, what are they going to do up front? We love Quentin Byfield, but he's a $6.2 million player for the next 3 years. So you can hope that Byfield emerges into superstar status at $6.2 million at some point over the next 3 years.
And you're getting a major value on that.
But the reality is you actually need like superstar power, I think.
I feel like their roster up front is not that bad. Fiala, Kempe.
He's not a superstar. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I know.
He had a career year.
They were good. They were good up front. They just didn't trust that they could go and run four line. I remember this as early as playing peewee hockey. And coaches always say, guys, you know, we had more numbers. You know, in peewee and Bantam, sometimes you play against a team that's got two lines and an extra forward and four defensemen. And the coach is like, when we get to the third period, we're going to be more fresh. We're going to be more fresh because we have more bodies.
When do kids ever run out of energy? That's terrible speak at that age.
That was great because it worked all the time. I remember us coming back and winning all the time. Even when I was, you know, playing for Torts in New York or playing for Lindy, we're going to be the best conditioned team. We're going to win games in the third period. We're going to come back. We're going to be rolling lines and all of it. Mm-hmm. The LA Kings were the picture, the poster of the, hey, you know what? You got a lead in the third period, but the Edmonton Oilers somehow, even though they have the two best players in the world, trusted the Janmark, the Connor Brown, their Adam Henrique, the Evander Kane to be able to play a bigger role. Mm-hmm. And so now the Oilers in the third period, they let loose of McDavid, let loose of Draisaitl, and the LA Kings are tired. And they got tired every game in the third period.
Yeah, it's, I guess, lastly, real quick, the reason I phrased it like what next for Minnesota and LA. If a superstar were on the market, which of those two teams would the superstar choose to join? Minnesota or LA?
Man, I think Minnesota is a better team. If I'm looking at like the future, Rossi, Boldy, Faber,
it's interesting.
All of it, Kaprizov. You know, I'm looking at the future. I'm looking at Minnesota. Minnesota had to navigate through years now of hell with their dead cap and the buyout of Parise and Suter. Mm-hmm. $15 million that you don't have, and you have to kind of just go along with it.
Right.
They did a masterful job of being able to at least be in the picture. I would, if it's me, I'm picking Minnesota.
The good discussion, though, to have, like, just randomly pick two teams, right, for the next few days or whatever, and just, like, pair them up, match them up, and see where you think that opinion would fall. Because Minnesota and LA have great parallels here over the last decade, which is no series wins. Mm-hmm. However, LA at least got their two before entering this drought, and Minnesota's never been able to get through. They came so close early on in their existence getting to the conference final.
And then you have Carolina, who's completely flipped the switch because they always win the first round. Remember, right, Carolina years ago, it was, we don't make the playoffs, but when we do, we go to the finals and we win the cup. Like, they would get to the finals, miss the playoffs 4 years, get to the finals, miss the playoffs. Now they make the playoffs. They can't get to the finals, but they win a round. Yeah. You could pick teams that have done that now, winning a round, winning a round, winning a round. Same thing. And Carolina would be one of them. But do you want to go to Carolina or Minnesota?
Right.
Almost got to say Minnesota, because I think Minnesota is more prime to compete for a cup.
There's a game six tonight. There's a game seven tomorrow. There is a game one of the National Lacrosse League semifinals tonight in Banditland, 7:30 at KeyBank Center. Can't wait to see you there. Bandits.com/tickets. It is Buffalo, Vancouver, front end of a best of three. Game two happens on Sunday in Vancouver. Buffalo eyeing the three-peat still. Can they get it done on home floor tonight against the Warriors? We'll see you in Banditland, and we'll see you with Shayna Goldman on the other side here on Sabres Live.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space: Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.